is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome Bill Raggio, a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Following very carefully the Taliban and all the bad actors gathered in the ungoverned spaces of the Central Asia and the Middle East. We begin not with the Taliban, but an organization that is now looking very much like it's linking itself to Taliban and Tehran decisions about Israel. This is Iraq's most one of Iraq's most influential and powerful Iran-backed militias. You will recall that Kataib Hezbollah fired missiles into American deployments in Jordan and a little bit in Syria. This is the border watching ISIS. And after that, the U.S. responded by a targeted killing of a Kataib Hezbollah commander in East Baghdad, is my memory. Well, another organization from those militias is speaking up, the League of the Righteous. Bill, a very good day to you. The League of the Righteous, does this work with, or is it parallel with, or is it similar to Kataib Hezbollah? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Asiba Hawker, as you noted, it's called the League of the Righteous. This is one of the original Iraqi militias that sprung up from the Mahdi army back in the early 2000s after the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq. People say they split off, but I think it's a little more complicated that Hezbollah Brigades and Asiba Hawker, or League of the Righteous, were two of the prime militias. They were formed by Mahdi army commanders. The U.S. military called them the Mahdi Army Special Groups, and we talked about them well over a decade ago, John. And they're still here. Asiba Hawk is run by a man named Qais al-Ghazali. He was in U.S. custody. He was the man involved with responsible for the kidnapping and execution of five American soldiers at the provincial center in Karbala. This was in 2006, I believe. We had him in custody and we interrogated him, found out a ton of information about how the group was formed by the Iran and its Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Quds Force. A very dangerous organization, along with Hezbollah Brigades, responsible for killing upwards of well over 600 American soldiers up until 2011. And then afterwards, attacks on U.S. bases. This is a dangerous group. It was also helped form by a Hezbollah commander. He actually was the head of the Hezbollah Special Forces. This is Lebanese Hezbollah, of course. His name is Musa Ali Dakduk. We had him in custody as well and released him in 2011. And they just went back to doing what they do best, which is organizing their Iran-backed militias and attacking U.S. forces, attacking Iraqis, intimidating the moderate members of the Iraqi government, infiltrating the security forces, attacking U.S. bases in the region. Very dangerous organization, John. I can't stress it enough. This is one of the premier Iranian proxies, I'd say, one level below Lebanese Hezbollah.
We're looking at this organization, League of the Righteous, because it's making remarks that are extremely similar to remarks that we touched upon our last conversation. That is, the Taliban of Kabul, in consultation with the Islamic Republic of Iran's IRGC in Tehran, talking about deploying a unit, perhaps a division, a regiment in some fashion, into the Israeli-Hamas conflict. Now we have similar remarks by League of the Righteous. It would appear, Bill, that Iran is at the center of all of this conversation, and these are the fingers that they've been using to enclose Israel. But now they're getting the Taliban and Iraqi militia involved. Were we ready for this, Bill? Was this always logical that they were going to require their not just surrogates, their servants, to speak up?
John, to individuals like me and you and those of us who've been watching this for almost two decades now, highly logical. Iran is the spider at the center of the web. This is Iran is getting its proxies and its supporters And even with the Taliban, right, John, we you know, people say, oh, the Shia rank could never work with a group like Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. I proved in a case called Qabrari v. Iran, where the Iran provided training, support, weapons, intelligence, safe haven for the Taliban in order to drive the U.S. out of Afghanistan. This is the Taliban returning the favor, but also the Taliban wanting to insert itself in the conflict. Remember people telling us, oh, the Taliban will moderate now that it controls the government. We've always said that was hooey. A Taliban wants to insert itself in this conflict. It just beat the superpower. The United States drove it out of Afghanistan, reestablished its Islamic Emirate. Getting a group like the Taliban, a winner on its side in this conflict, is good for the Taliban. It's good for Iran. It's good for everyone. Can they do it? I mean, yes, they can, actually. There's a land bridge that goes all the way to Lebanon if the Taliban fighters want to come in and help. Is it likely? I don't know the answer to that. Is it possible? Absolutely possible. Getting together a group like Siva Haq's statement. Iran is, remember, it's preying on the Biden administration's fear of a wider war, which I would argue already exists. Iran has launched missiles directly at Israel. All of the militias are launching it. All of them are launching attacks on Israel. The Iraqi militias have launched attacks on U.S. forces. There's questions whether some of those attacks have resumed. I suspect they have. This is Iran mustering, you know, its forces to battle not just Israel, but the United States, and to become the predominant actor in the Middle East.
And then we come to remarks by Kaisal Khazali, the leader of the League of the Righteous, saying, let America know that it has made all its interests in the region and Iraq subject to targeting and danger. Bill, they're warning, they're going to attack, they might attack. How do you read that?
I read that as soon as Israel launches its operation to drive what we believe to be drive Hezbollah from northern or southern Lebanon, that is Siva Haq and other militias, League of the Righteous, will resume attacks against U.S. bases in Iraq and Syria. Remember, three U.S. servicemen were killed in one of these attacks in Jordan earlier this year. Dozens of servicemen and contractors at these small bases have been wounded in these attacks. These attacks stop the U.S. from targeting the Islamic State. That's the mission that they're performing in these areas. The militias are actually itching to get back into this fight. They've held back due to Iran's instructions. But if that fight is initiated, the full-blown between Israel and Hezbollah, I expect the militias to weigh in force. And keep in mind, one of the things I warned, most of the attacks on these bases, John, have been rockets, missiles, and drones. There's tens, if not hundreds of thousands, of these militia fighters. If they're willing to take the casualties, they could overrun one of these bases. And that would be an absolute nightmare for the Biden administration, particularly during election season. He claimed that no American troops were killed in wars during his time. Of course, that was wrong. We'd mentioned Jordan, of course, in Afghanistan. There's been other incidents as well. This is something, but President Biden said that because this is something he wants on his resume, that there be minimal or no U.S. casualties. And an attack like that would be devastating politically as to the Biden administration, as well as just devastating, and obviously for the troops killed.
You mentioned the president running for a second term. The Thursday night debate, I ask you to speculate. How was it seen in Kabul? How was it seen in Baghdad?
Yeah, and I think Kabul, we'll start there. The Taliban already smelled and witnessed firsthand American weakness in its withdrawal in August of 2021. If they had any concerns about the U.S. re-engaging forcefully in the Middle East or taking action against the Taliban in Afghanistan as Al-Qaeda runs training camps and religious schools, all the safe houses, media operation centers, and weapon storage depots in Afghanistan, there's been no attacks. I think that dispelled any concerns that the Taliban might have about the U.S. being forceful. They had to have seen a president that is weak, who's being managed by his advisors. This did not project strength to the Taliban. Baghdad's far more interesting, right? You have a government that's willing to work with the U.S. It's straddling the fence between the U.S. and Iran. The Iranians have a lot of influence within the Iraqi government, but the Iraqi government still relies on the U.S. to help it fight the Islamic State and provide some aid and other things. If you're the president or the prime minister of Iraq and you watch that debate, you're going to want to stop straddling that fence and get fully into the Iranian camp.
Let's speculate then on how the Houthis saw it in their base camps in the mountains of northern Yemen. The strongest horse is the metaphor that we've often used throughout the Middle East. You're presenting that you speculate that everyone saw it the same way. America's no longer a strong horse.
Yeah, John, I mean, I think if you look at the discussions here domestically, the concerns are there. So if we here in the United States are having those concerns, without a doubt, the Houthis, all of U.S. adversaries and enemies, the Chinese, if I'm the Chinese, John, I load the boats up and I do it after 4 p.m. It's the Houthis. They've already witnessed American weakness for almost eight months of them launching attacks in the Red Sea. And the U.S. has played defense with occasional strikes to take out some Houthi capabilities, but an unwillingness to go after the real culprits here. Houthi leadership, Houthi military, political and military leadership, going after IRGC advisors that are in Yemen, helping direct those missiles and drones, going after that Iranian ship that is plying the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden to provide intelligence for this attack. The reason why it still floats is beyond me. The Houthis have witnessed weakness after weakness, also a refusal to go after the real culprit, which is Iran, who's directing and providing the weapons and intelligence and doing all the things that it did for the Taliban and all these other militias. Again, this is just confirmation to groups like the Houthis, to the League of the Righteous, to Hezbollah brigades, to Hezbollah, to Iran, to Russia, to China, to the Taliban. All of these countries and groups, they have to, I would be entirely shocked if, you know, any cables that we intercept had people saying, well, that the president we're facing right now looks strong. If there's an adversary or an enemy of ours that has uttered those words, I would be completely shocked.
Bill Raggio is a senior fellow for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He keeps the Long War Journal with his colleagues. He also makes Generation Jihad podcasts. And most recently, he and his colleague Will Selber discussed an article in Foreign Affairs by David Petraeus, Israel's War of Regime Change is Repeating America's Mistakes. When we come back, Understanding America's Mistakes. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.